Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Choose Strong podcast. I'm very happy that you decided to join us today because we have an awesome topic that we're going to be talking about. I'd say that the topic that we're going to dive into today is not only one of the most requested among the community, but just something that's near and dear to my heart, and also something I know that is important to Eddie, which is why I asked him to join me today for today's episode. It is about being a mama. And I think it, just in the, in the grand scheme of things, I feel like being a mom is a made up of a lot of different seasons. So I think that's the best way for me to sum it up right now is there's preparing to be a mom. There's when you are a new mom in those early years, and then when the kids go to school, and then there's the teen years, which are very different from the baby years. But I think that once you become a mother, you're a mother forever, and the seasons are always changing. So this is going to be a 2, maybe 3-part series where we are actually going to be tackling all the questions that have been sent to Eddie in the past couple of days, and even touching back on just stuff that we get weekly. So I think there's a lot to glean from this, even if you are not a parent, if you are preparing to be a parent. I think that there's a lot of gold in what we're going to be discussing, because what I have learned in being a mama now for, 18 years, is that we can never stop growing, can never stop learning. And a lot of what I learn as a mom also has to do with learning about myself and how I can be better in areas that I can grow and improve on too. So I really love this topic, and I'm excited to have you, Eddie, here with me for this, because when we first talked about it, he's like, really, you want me on it? Well, Eddie, you are the most, and always have been, the most encouraging person in my life, in my journey in motherhood. And for any of our new listeners, if you don't know my backstory, sometimes I'll touch on this, but I lost my mom when I was 17. So that has been, you know, when I had Mackenzie, our first child, I think that her loss like hit me all over again, and I really missed her in that first year. And there's been moments throughout my motherhood that I've really missed having a mom, but have also been so grateful to remember what it was like to have a great mom, and want to exemplify that too. So the one thing that has been true is that Eddie has gotten a front row seat from day one until present, and has remained to be one of my greatest encouragers, my greatest support. And I mean, you're a great dad too. So I'm excited we can tackle this from both ends. We'll definitely do something on dads later. And yeah, right now we're going to focus on being a mom. So, but first, as we always like to do when we start off our episodes, is just to acknowledge everyone that's out there that is push play today and they have started off on their run. And we just want to tell you, good job, way to show up, way to stick to your training today. Today is the one day that you can control. You can't control what happened yesterday. You can't control what your training is going to look like tomorrow, but right now you can be in your training and just do the best with what you have right now. So whether you got 20 minutes to train right now or you have 4 hours, I'm going to encourage you, putting on my coach's hat right now, I'm going to encourage you to just be all in it with what you have. And I know we are still in the winter season. We are still seeing pictures posted in our online community on our Facebook page of people running in the snow, out in the freezing temps, in ice. You know, we have still been getting hit with these kind of gnarly rainstorms and wind here in Southern California. A lot of cold weather for us here on the coast. So we are still in the winter weather, which I think many times can feel the least motivating to get out in. So If you're training on a treadmill right now, that was my training this morning. If you're down in the basement, the kids are running around, or you're at the gym in between classes at your university, whatever it is that you're doing, we, Eddie and I, are super proud of you. And we know that by the end of your session today, you're just going to feel better. And that's just another box that you get to check off with sticking to doing that work. So well done. Eddie, you want to add to anything?
No, right, I think I would echo that sentiment of well done. That is, you're getting after doing the work. Yeah, great.
Well, I see
great
you are
job.
Sporting the do the work windbreaker. You've been wearing that a lot lately.
I'm repping this thing. I like it. It's nice. It's just enough, not too thick to get warm, but it's not too thin. So, you know, it's kind of that happy medium. And it looks cool, too.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you just explained what's coming up. But before we do that, let's touch on the Strong Love giveaway that we just had in February.
Yeah, we had a lot of winners this month. And I think for anyone that didn't win, there is still opportunity to win because we're going to be doing some giveaways for the next few months.
Yeah.
So, which I love. I love just
pouring
the gifts out. I mean, Eddie especially loves it because... You know what I'm going to say right now.
Call me Santa Claus. What are you going to say?
Well, last week, and usually at the beginning of the year, is when we get some Nike shipments. And I've been with Nike for the last 10 years. And they're very generous in their gear and shoes throughout the year. Sometimes at the beginning of the year, we get a little bit more. Now, because I've been with Nike for 10 years, I'd say the first year was the most exciting. You're like, oh my gosh, look at all these boxes of this amazing gear, cool shoes, clothes. And as the months went by, as the years went by, Eddie isn't really fond of big box drop-offs on her doorstep anymore. We just had one recently. I think there was like 9 boxes on the doorstep. And he walks in and looks at me. And he's like, yeah. Where are we putting that?
Where's it all going to go?
10 years of stuff like this. And with 7 sponsors, we get stuff on the doorstep a lot. And so it's nice when we can share what we have. And we spread that around to family and friends. And, you know, that's really great. But what's even better is when our sponsors say, hey, tell us who you want us to send a gift to.
Yep.
And so I'm really grateful for the sponsors we have, Bear Performance Nutrition. They are always so generous. You know, Nike is the one that created the yellow hat. That was a surprise gift to me last year after racing Tahoe. We had 100 yellow hats just arrive on our doorstep. And so Eddie and I have saved those and we give all those ones away. And yeah, that just makes my heart happy that we can always share what has been given to us. So thank you for listening. And we hope that you are one of the winners in, if not this month, in the next few months.
Yes. Yes. All right. Let's move on. And I'm going to share a few reviews, few things that people have said about the Choose Strong podcast. Why are you laughing? That's not funny. What? What's so funny?
I think I have the giggles today, but I'm just looking at you and you're just making me laugh.
Why? I didn't even do anything yet.
Oh, no. You just have like this look on your face.
You know, it's probably because I have so much caffeine in me and I just got this permanent smile right now. I'm going to confess.
Can you talk to our YouTube watchers
really
right now?
No, I'm just talking to anybody that'll listen to this one. I woke up this morning early, made a cup of coffee, and went on a walk.
Mm-hmm. This has become your new ritual. You go walk on the coast.
Okay. That's not what I'm talking about. But I get home and I brew a pot of coffee and for everybody in the house. And then I sat down and had
was
another
that
cup.
Kind of like a plus one for yourself right there?
Yeah. Just so you guys know.
We have our good friend Tyler McCain who is staying with us right now. He is here to get some content.
Yeah.
And also we have this super fun event that we're doing at our house with a bunch of creatives, which we'll share about later. It's going to end up being a YouTube episode. But Tyler likes coffee too.
Yeah. So
I like coffee.
So yeah,
and Eddie was the maker of coffee this morning.
I brewed a fresh pot this morning. So that was 2 cups at probably before 7:30. And then I went to Phil's Coffee this morning for a couple hours and got some work done and had a Tessora. And the Tessora blend, very good.
Not everyone knows what Phil's Coffee is. I think Phil's, it's only West Coast, and there's only
Okay.
9 or 10.
Yeah. Phil's Coffee is a, it's a drip coffee, but it's, you can't just order drip coffee, right? Like you have, there's certain,
like 12 different types of drip coffee, and you order, it's, they just only brew it one cup at a time.
Yeah. And they have like certain
no espresso machines.
Yeah. The Tessora has, I think, hazelnut, right? Or
Tessora has chocolate
cinnamon?
With hints of caramel.
Caramel.
And I think there is hazelnut,
hints of caramel.
Too. You like that?
I like that. Anyways, so yeah, Phil's is, it's a kind of like
but
a specialty.
But Eddie's also become really good friends with the owner.
Yeah.
And he loves Eddie so much. Every time Eddie comes in, he gives him free coffee.
And he gives me hugs now. Yeah. He came over today and
he brought him a cheese strong hat.
I did bring him a hat. But he gave me a little, he came
he
over today
so
and
sweet.
Gave me a little side hug too.
Yeah.
But anyways, so that was my third cup of coffee. Then I went to an appointment with you and yours.
Sat at a coffee house.
Appointment was upstairs and I went downstairs where there's a coffee shop and had another cup of coffee, a cappuccino.
And then let me pause. I came out of my appointment and I was like, where are you? I called him. He's like, I'm walking. And I was like, what do you mean you're walking? And he's like, I just needed to go walk. And now I understand why. It's because he had five cups of coffee pumping through his veins and he just couldn't sit still.
That was my fourth. And then on the way home, we're like, you know what? We should probably stop and grab a coffee. And
no, we had to stop because Eddie had to go to the bathroom so bad.
That's true.
Just and I was like, well, look, the bathroom is right by Phil's.
Just happened to be next to Phil's.
It just happened to be next to Phil's.
And so, of course.
The bathroom and coffee have anything to do with it? Or
this is my fifth cup of coffee. And I went four hot, and this is my fifth. I went iced mint mojito.
Yeah.
So
non-alcoholic.
Right. But it's a coffee drink. And so maybe that's why I'm circling this all the way back to what you were saying.
Okay.
That you're smiling, laughing over there, looking at me because maybe I have
it's
the
really
caffeine
long-winded.
Smile.
It's long-winded. I don't know where you're going with it. But yes, Eddie has consumed a lot of coffee. He's basically living
and
his best day.
And it's only 2:45. There's still a lot of day left.
You realize that most people listening are like, oh my gosh, I would not be able to go to bed if I had that much coffee.
Yeah, there's definitely something wrong with me because I could probably go take a nap right now.
You are desensitized.
I really am.
To caffeine.
I shouldn't brag about that. But
I don't know. But like, what I do know is that when we go on vacation, that is my favorite thing to do with you is like, what are all the coffee houses we're going to hit?
What do you mean just on vacation?
Along the way. We drink way more coffee when we go
on
vacation.
No, I know.
Yeah, like going out to get coffee.
Yeah.
Like, that's our splurge.
Yeah,
I don't care about going shopping or seeing shows. I just, like,
what are all
the good coffee houses in the area? We will go to all of them. So do we have a problem? I don't know.
Yes.
I mean, people have now been sending us coffee on the weekly to our fan post office box. We just, oh, man. Oh, what? We do. They're right there. Are those the cookies? Those are the cookies.
No, those aren't the cookies. We already ate the cookies. What are you talking about?
No, we got another thing of cookies. They are. And coffee. Oh, this is so good for our YouTube people to see this.
Nobody can hear what you're saying when you're with
this. This is so good for our YouTube audience to see this. Speaking of coffee, we got several very lovely gifts in the mail. I may have gotten a couple cards in the mail, shed some tears. Every time we do a mail day, I'm crying.
Yeah.
Okay, people. Why do you guys have to make me cry? But this was Roasted with Love for Sally and Eddie. Mount Eldon Coffee Roasting. Mount Eldon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know where that is, right?
Flagstaff.
Flagstaff, where our daughter is going to school. Notes of blueberry, blackberry, cranberry juice, fruit leather.
Mm.
Winey accents. I don't know what that means. Whiny.
Whiny?
I think more wine, not whiny like a child.
Oh.
We are on a parent topic today. That's so I'm thinking, do I want some whiny coffee? Probably not.
I want the opposite of whiny.
And chocolate covered raisins.
Wow.
So thank you so much. This was such a treat to get. It's in, if you are watching this on YouTube, you can see it is a homemade bag. She wrote the description right there on the front of the bag. And she actually used a typewriter. She said, this is a little odd, but I'm trying out my new typewriter. I love typewriters. You know why I like typewriters? I love the way they sound.
Mm-hmm.
Just that like clicking, you know, I love it. So I love that she printed this up on a typewriter. This is, you know, okay, she did write her name at the top. Valerie Cross. Valerie Cross, thank you so much for your kindness, your energy, your time,
and
gifting us with coffee. We are so excited to ground up those beans and give it a try. But look at this. She also gave us pictures of what Flagstaff looks like right now under the snow.
Pretty.
And then check out her coffee roasting machine.
Pretty
Let's
awesome.
Go.
Pretty awesome.
So awesome. So this was a huge treat. The second thing we got was from the cookie mama, Nancy McIntyre, who is from Greensboro, Pennsylvania. And
all right.
I was so excited when I got this, Ed, that I was like, oh, I have to wait and show this on the YouTube because it blew my mind. So first of all, Nancy, I have to tell you, you are incredibly talented. And she wrote a really kind, incredible card that blew me away. I'm not going to read the card publicly, but you will not believe. Look at these cookies. We have the yellow hat.
Oh, that's cool.
The yellow hat. Are you kidding me? They're in
cool.
bubble wrap. So I don't know if you can see it better there. Yeah, there we go. There's the yellow hat. Literally took, I don't know how she did this. This is a post that's my handwriting.
Oh, wow.
From Instagram. And it says, today is a good day to be brave again.
That's awesome.
Sometimes I write these things from my journal and I post them online. But it's in bubble wrap. You can't really see that one. Mind Over Miles, which I think Darby will appreciate this one. It's backwards in the screen, but that is the name of the Moab documentary on my YouTube channel. If you haven't checked that out yet, really special. And then a t-shirt with Do the Work on it with our logo. That is just the raddest thing. These are cookies. Like, I don't want to eat these.
Those are cool.
Right? I mean, I want to preserve them forever and ever and display them in my kitchen. Anyway, going back to what I was originally saying, Eddie and I have a weekly meeting and we sit down and we have been going through the mail and going through these really sweet gifts.
Mm-hmm.
We go through the messages online and, you know, this week was a little heavy for me. There is some really
that's pretty cool.
Deep personal stories that people shared that, you know, I'm not going to discuss them in this podcast because they were personal, but I do want to just acknowledge that when people send stuff to us, I mean, we are very grateful and honored to hear your stories and they mean a lot to us.
Yeah.
And we remember you.
Yeah. Just, often. I want to touch on that too, where I'm going to read a couple things from people, but mm-hmm. we do get quite a few emails from people that share their story or how they've been inspired or touched by your book or an Instagram post or the podcast. And there's a lot of emails that have been coming through lately. And just to let everybody know that we do read each and every one of those. Mm-hmm. We don't respond to every one of them.
Not that we don't want to.
Not that we don't want to, but
it is a lot.
We do read them. And I know even this week we had the one I was reading an email that came through, and as I was reading, I started getting tears in my eyes. And
I know who you're talking about.
And then I read it, and then you were in the other room and I yelled to you, I go, hey, you read the email that just came through. And then it was quiet, and then I knew you were reading it, and all of a sudden you didn't respond back, you just texted me, I'm crying.
Yeah.
That's how powerful some, you know, that was just one of the emails, but there's been a ton of those that have really been powerful, really heavy, and it's just neat to have everyone share their ups and downs, their struggles, their victories, you know, with us. And we're honored to be able to, you know, listen to those. And
it's the best part of what we do.
It is.
Is being able to share our lives. I think what I love the most about the Choose Strong community is that we genuinely feel like a community. We feel like a family. And I know people long for that. People long to be included and to be a part of something, to be seen, to be heard. And I think everyone deserves that. I think also it's not uncommon that people have lived a lot of their lives not feeling like they belonged somewhere. Maybe not have grown up in a stable family where they felt loved and seen and appreciated just for who they are. And that's really important to me because I understand that. And I think the power of community and love can change people's lives.
Yep.
And so when people share their stories with us of how their lives has been changed, or just having a renewed mindset, a renewed strength or perspective because of the community is just, it's incredible. I think that the letter that you and I are talking about was so powerful too, because we were preparing for this podcast about being a mother, and this particular mother lost two children at once and her husband. And I remember like you and I had a long talk about it.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, I'm going to tear up right now. But and being left with one child, I don't know how I could get through something like that, or just the day to day. I know it's been years now, but to the woman who wrote that, she knows who she is. I'm not going to go into details or the name or anything. It was, I just want to say I see you and I appreciate you, and you are amazing and so strong, because her words, despite all that, were so powerful. So today, as we talk about being a mom, I also know, and I have had many friends who that journey for them has been painful. I understand children are an amazing gift. To be a parent is such a gift, a great gift that I will not take for granted. I know sometimes it's easy to forget that when it's hard, when the days are tiring and so frustrating and you just feel like it, or it's just monotonous. I had several women write in about that, where it's just like the day in and day out is just monotonous. I just feel like I'm lost, that who I am and what I love, like, is just non-essential anymore. So you said it so wonderfully last night, or the couple other nights, to Mackenzie, because she actually is in AP psychology in high school right now, and she had to do an interview on both of us about parenting. And one of her questions was, what advice would you give to a new parent, you know, people that are just now welcoming a child into their home? And I loved what you said, and I think it's a powerful thing that I have to remember all the time, and that is, like, first you need to remember that you're not perfect, and the child that you are going to be raising is not perfect, and don't ever forget that. And I was like, oh, that's one to write on the mirror.
Yeah.
Because I think it's that's some of the frustration, is like, we want everything to be perfect. We want outward facing for everyone to think that we're just like these great parents, and our kids are great, and in public they're great, and in school they're great, and everything's going to go smoothly. And it's like, that's not how it goes for anyone. So anyway, I know we kind of went off a tangent here, and you're going to go through some of these highlights, but I just wanted to take a moment and thank everyone who's been mailing in letters and these sweet little gifts to us. If there is anything that you'd love to share with us or send us, we will include our PO box in the show notes. You can also always find that on our website.
Yep. All right. The first one I'm going to read is from Bailey Crawford from Apple. She said, my favorite podcast.
From Apple Podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, from Apple. Oh, yeah.
My favorite podcast for running, for faith, for my friends, Eddie and Sally, who I consider family. You guys motivate me to grow in every aspect of life. I've been in a tough season dealing with the loss of my job, a knee injury that's kept me from running, and struggling to figure out what my life is supposed to look like. You two have been with me every step of the way, every drive, every gym session, every errand. You guys keep me moving forward. Thank you both for being such an amazing inspiration. I won't give up. I will choose strong. Bailey, thank you for sharing that. I follow Bailey on Strava.
Okay.
We are Strava friends.
You guys give each other kudos?
I see Bailey working hard. Big props to you out there, Bailey. Keep
Heck
it
yeah.
up. Keep it up. All right. Let's go, next Bailey. One is from Navster 2000. That sounds like
a
car. No, Nav.
Oh.
N-A-V.
But was it Napster, like the
Napster,
music?
Napster, yeah, Napster.
The music, yeah.
You just dated yourself, Sal. All right, Navster 2000 from Apple Podcasts as well. Said, last year I signed up for my first marathon. My previous half marathons hadn't gone so well, so this was a big, scary dream. A dream that I was 50% convinced I had it in me to do well at. Sally's encouragement through this podcast was in my ears on every long run and through every tough session. It truly was like running alongside friends. My marathon was in December, and I crossed the finish line with the biggest smile on my face. I did the hard thing, me. I think I have the longer distance bug now, and the Choose Strong podcast is coming right along with me. Mm-hmm. Sally, thank you for your kind encouragement and tough love. You've helped me truly, show me truly how strong the mind is. Mm. Big powerful. Props to Navster.
Yes, Navster. Thank
Congrats
you for sharing.
Congrats on the marathon. All right, last one is from Hannah. Gave a little Choose Strong podcast love. This is from Instagram. She sent a message saying, my 8-year-old daughter called me into her room tonight and told me that she was stealing something of mine. So she pulled back her covers and wouldn't you know it, she took my new Choose Strong hat. She says she's going to keep it and that she's mad that I didn't order her one. She loves listening to your podcast and even has me turn it in on the car this afternoon. She's watched your documentaries with me and is a big Sally and Eddie fan. Thank you for being so encouraging and loving. You're inspiring the next generation. And she sent a little video picture of cute little 8-year-old Blakely.
Okay, Blakely. I was going to ask if we knew the name. Yes. So Blakely, we're coming at you right here from your friends, Eddie and Sally. And we want to give you a special shout out, Blakely. We are so glad that you love the yellow hat. And we hope that as you share that hat with your mother, that you remember that you are so strong and that you are capable of great things. Thank you so much for being a fan. We're sending you a big, giant virtual bear hug right now.
Yes, Blakely, that hat looks very good on you. You look very fast when you put that hat on. looking good. All right, so let's move on to a couple of... Now, these are the ones that we like to highlight, those that have proven that they have a strong mind or a strong body or some strong love, because that is those attributes that we like to really highlight on this podcast. And I think we mentioned a little bit at the beginning there with some of the emails that have come through, and those have all been very powerful. But I want to highlight Jenny sent one in through the email this week, and she basically, I won't read all of it, but she said that she had a 100K last weekend, and she had to battle through a bunch of injuries through some other races. And anyways, so she was really pumped about this one. So she was ready to throw down, she said, on this 100K.
I love it.
She said, I have never in my whole running experience ever had to deal with leg cramps. And guess what happened at mile 19? Leg cramps. I know it sounds silly, but my yellow hat turned into this beacon of strength on my head. It was like I just had this shining reminder that I can dig deeper and climb higher. I also had saved up a few episodes of the podcast specifically for if I got into a dark place. And when I had about 2.5 hours left, I put you and Eddie on, and even through the cramping, I was laughing and lifted by you two. Mm. I even guessed the right answer when the questions from the listeners turned to, what do you enjoy outside of physical workouts? I was yelling into the darkness on the trail, bookstores! LOL. The last 10 miles literally almost passed without me even thinking about it. As a matter of fact, when I climbed out of the trees back into the home stretch, I was legit surprised because I thought I still had a few miles left. I'm on my third complete listen to your podcast from start to finish, and each time I listen to an episode, I pick out a new nugget that I tuck away in my memory bank. Love and light, Jenny.
Strong mind. That's so awesome. Jenny, thank you for taking us along, especially in your race. I mean, that's like one of my favorite things is when people tell us that they save it for a race and that we are actually racing with them. So if that is the case for you right now, if you are in the middle of a race, we are cheering for you. Let's go. You got
Let's
this.
Go.
Strong mind, strong legs, all the way. Yeah, this is those have been some of my favorite reviews that – yeah, we get to go through
during
the finish
a race,
line with
them.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Super cool.
Super cool. All right. The next one is from Sierra. She wrote in through Instagram. She said, I just listened to episode 49. As a teacher, thank you. I've taken on half marathons and trying to recapture my strength in the gym. As you guys know, the spring is tough for teachers. I've voiced to my husband how I feel like I'm lazy and I'm falling behind and I'm so tired at the end of the day and just need to take care of the small things in the house rather than running or lifting. This episode made me feel seen and heard. No one truly understands the teacher life except for teachers. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being a light in the world.
That's awesome. Yeah, Eddie and I have had the great gift of being teachers.
Yep.
And we would joke about how often people that aren't teachers think that that we only work 8 to 3.
Yeah.
Yep. And then just hang out and vacation the rest of the time and that our weekends are easy. But, man, it doesn't matter how many years you're a teacher. There's a lot of paper correcting on the weekends, lesson plans at night, so many different meetings that you have to be a part of within school, evening events. And it is a lot of hours packed into those 9-10 months.
Yeah, and I know I worked with tons and tons of them, but shout out to those mom teachers that, you know, that are dealing with kids all day and then they come home and they got their own kids and they're, you know, they got to make dinner and
help
just
them
like,
with their homework.
Yeah. And, just like what Sierra was saying here, where she comes home and she's got a lot of things that she's got to get to. And then she's also trying to work on some goals that she has and train and run and strength train. So, Sierra, we see you and you're doing a good job.
Well, I remember when you were an elementary school teacher, and you were doing an hour drive there, mm-hmm. hour drive back home. And you would say that you actually look forward to the hour drive home because it was like that was your quiet time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you worked younger elementary school mm-hmm. and you had kids that were every 2 minutes, Mr. McCray, Mr. McCray, Mr. McCray. Like it was nonstop for those, you know, 6-7 hours. And then you would get in your truck and it kind of gave you a gap between then
totally.
As soon as you got home.
Yeah.
Because I know the kids always waited for you to get home and then it was, and also at that time when our kids were in elementary school, I mean, I couldn't help the kids with their homework by the time they're in fourth or fifth grade because what was that core?
Common Core.
Common Core. Yeah. Like that just changed everything.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I didn't understand how to help them with their math anymore. I didn't understand like so much stuff. So the kids would tease me and be like, we'll just wait till dad gets home, mom. Like you can't help us with this. But I knew that was a lot for you. So you'd been teaching all day.
Yeah.
So that hour drive home kind of gave you a little bit of a break before you'd have to then go do it again. But
yep.
I remember all the things that she just said. It, you know, you would want to get to the gym and you'd want to go and like run and you would be really tired and just so much. You were working always before dinner, after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And so teachers out there, we appreciate you. We see you. You have some of the most important work because you're working with the future generation. And I mean, in my opinion, I think teachers should be paid way more than they are.
Yep.
But the work is good. It's not in vain. And yeah. I know you and I both have talked about teachers that impacted us yep. in our growing up years. We can pick out those few teachers that literally changed our life or yeah. helped us through hard times or believed in us and, you know, really like showed us a better way.
Yep.
I know your high school teacher, well, your high school soccer coach is why you even went to Biola.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And that's
Mr. Brunzeel.
Cool. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Let's, I got one more. This one is from Instagram.
Okay.
This is from Ariana. Said, hi, Eddie and Sally. This past weekend, I competed in my second 24-hour race. Last year, I ran 75 miles, the longest I'd run.
That's awesome.
This year, I finished with 100 miles in 23 hours and 5 minutes. Sally, your podcast and story and sharing your experience with ultras helped so much in making me feel like it was even possible. Running triple digits has been a longtime secret goal of mine, and it feels so good to have accomplished it. All the hours I spent running, listening to you both made training fun and inspiring. So many times I had to rearrange or modify my workouts due to my roles as a mom and a nurse house supervisor. I'm a single mom of a beautiful special needs 8-year-old boy and a nurse. Thanks for all that you do, and thanks for sharing your journey. It definitely impacted mine. Ariana, congrats. Huge shout out to getting 100 miles in 23 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's huge. That's a significant goal that you reached. That's awesome. And I think that's a good one to read as we kind of segue into this topic of motherhood and moms, you know, what you've kind of gone through, experienced as a mom. You know, I think she, as a single mom and training obviously for these 24 hour races and has a 8-year-old special needs boy, you know, she's a busy mom. And so I thought it was good to kind of end on that one because it really, there's a lot of questions that have to do with a situation like hers where it's just like they're busy and trying to, you know, make everything happen that they gotta do with work and family and but also training. And so I know we got a lot of questions here that were given to us, and so I can read a couple of these and you can answer them. And a lot of them, there's a lot of themes in them. There's quite a few that just are said the same in a different way.
Right.
So you just
grouped them up.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. But I think it'd be good to share a couple of them that are maybe similar just so you can get a sense of the scope of what they're asking. But
before you dive in just to the questions, I think one of the things I want to say, and especially to our listeners out there who are not parents, I really want to just address overall how powerful parents are just in our life. Whether you are a parent or you're thinking of your own parents in your life, what we can agree on is that they have a great influence on our lives. They have a great impact on our lives, whether it's positive or negative. And one of the questions that Mackenzie actually asked me in that interview was, where did you acquire your parenting skills? How did you decide to parent the way that you do? And my first response was, well, I picked the things that I loved that encouraged me as a child, and I wanted to apply those to my parenting.
Yeah.
And then I also identified the things that really broke me or hurt me or that were hard, and I made sure that I didn't copy those patterns.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that the most important thing is to understand that while parents have a massive impact on our lives, whether you're a parent or not, that we at the end of the day still have the power to choose how to respond and to react in life and to people around us. And it is easy to play victim or blame other people or blame our parents for this is why I do this, or this is why I am the way I am, and kind of shake our fists at the world as if, you know, as if we're owed something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really dangerous place to be. I know in my youth, it was easy to kind of lean into that, that I just kind of felt like a victim. But as I grew older, I understood like, wow, I don't have to stay here. My life doesn't have to feel this way. I can let go. I can forgive. I can grow. I can change the story. I can write a new story. So I just want to encourage listeners, both as parents and those that are looking to be parents and those that, even if you're not a parent right now, know that however you were mothered or fathered or, you know, whatever your parents were like, and that journey in childhood that you were on, that you can learn from that and you can grow from that, both in a positive way. And if it was a negative experience, you can grow from that, and you get to change the story. Mm-hmm. You don't have to keep a pattern. You don't have to believe, you know, especially the negative stuff that people may have hurt you or said, like you get to change that. So on the flip side, now speaking specifically to mothers, I think it's so important that you also always consider why you feel, think, and choose to mother the way that you do. And one of the things that Eddie and I actually talked about last night when we were making dinner together, we were doing Chipotle bowls last night.
Yeah.
Our version, home style, was how often, I actually just said, how many people asked about mom guilt? And I'm just going to open with this because this is really, really important, because I think this hits at every single season in life. And he was like, wow, actually a lot. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of mom guilt in there. And so I want to really highlight this to all the moms, new and old, however long you've been in it. Mom guilt quite often is also connected to our pride. And it's, I like to ask myself, well, who am I trying to impress?
Yeah.
Why do I feel ashamed or guilty? Like, actually, where is that coming from? Can you say specifically a person in your life that is making you feel that way? Can you point specifically to a statement that was said to your face or someone in your circle that made you feel guilty? Because a lot of times it's in our head. A lot of times it's us just naturally comparing ourselves to people around us, to what we see online, and really this harsh judgment that we put on ourselves that we're supposed to be perfect. And I think it's easy as moms to always want to appear like we have everything together, that our house is in order, the laundry is done, and the dishes are done, and every night is a perfectly laid out, you know, dinner, and that our kids always look good, and they're scrubbed up and polished in their outfits, and, you know, they're always well behaved, and then on top of it, that you always look good, and your workouts are done. I mean, that it really is outlandish, the pressure that many times we just put on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when our kids were babies, I remember having to face that by myself and realize that, well, a lot of the guilt or frustration I have, I'm doing that because I'm naturally hard on myself, or I want things to be perfect. I want to control the situation. I want things to be great. That's a really human desire. We want things to go well in every area of our life. Like, yeah. Who doesn't? Who says like, oh, I hope this is a disaster.
Right.
I hope this is rough and rocky and hard. No one does. Like, we want to wake up and we want our kids to be happy and healthy. We want them to have a good day at school. We want the house to be clean. We want our workout to feel great. I mean, that's just, you get some days like that. And so today at the core of what I'm speaking about is really just get to the heart of the mother and lovingly invite you to turn inward and ask yourself, why do I feel this way in the first place? Where does that come from? Does that come from a home life that was really strict? Did you have a mom that was absolutely obsessed with everything being perfect? Did your mother live by these super high expectations? And so therefore you feel like that is the way to parent. That mm-hmm. is the way to be a mom. And maybe you have some harsh critics in your life, and maybe it is using your, you know, you being a mom and your kids as an opportunity to prove something, to prove your worth, to prove your value, which is also a hard place to be in too. So, you know, to all those moms out there, if you haven't heard it this week, if you haven't heard it yet today, you are doing a great job. You are doing a wonderful job. Just this, these gifts that you've been given, these unique little lives that no one else gets to raise except you. No one else gets a front row seat to those sweet little babies that you are raising. You have been chosen to be their mother for a reason, and you are the most perfect person for that position. Don't ever, ever, ever forget that. Because even if you do get those moments on the playground, or even at a parent-teacher conference, or at a family gathering where people make harsh judgments or criticisms about what it is that you're doing, you remember this one thing. You were chosen to be their mother, not them. And only you see all of it. Every minute, the ins and outs, the hard stuff, the good stuff, that's you. And I think that that is something to be proud of. And I think what I've learned now, I've been a mama for 18 years, is I feel like the older I get, the more I understand how important it is to be humble and gracious in your parenting. Because I'll tell you what, I'm not the poster child for being a mom. But what I do know to be true is the same thing in every area of my life. And that's that I can always grow. I can always learn. I can always be better. And at the end of the day, the most important thing that children need is just to know that they're loved.
Yep.
Period. Pausing here for a quick message from Inside Tracker. The path to better health isn't rocket science. It's health science. For something as valuable as your health, there's no reason to leave anything to chance. So whether you want to improve your heart health, cognition, metabolism, sleep, stress levels, or overall health span, Inside Tracker reveals the exact areas of your health that need improvement through comprehensive blood testing, DNA analysis, sleep and fitness tracker data, and your current daily habits. Inside Tracker's scientists have shifted through the research so that you don't have to. So stop playing guessing games. When it comes to your health and longevity, you can save 20% on all of Inside Tracker tests with the code SALLY at checkout. That's our starting point, Eddie. Go ahead and hit me with these questions.
Good word right there. All right. So let's, this is a good one. I think this is for those moms that have the young kids. This is asked by Susanna. She said, what is your advice for when you feel overwhelmed by the monotony of the little years?
Yeah, man, I remember this really well because when Isaiah was born, 2 weeks later, Mackenzie turned two. And Mackenzie just physically was so little. I mean, I think on her first birthday, she was only like 14 pounds. Like her frame was very tiny. She's a small girl, yeah. Just overall. And Isaiah was more like me as a baby. I was like 9.5 pounds when I was a bowling ball. I was short and round. Like I was a chunk. And Isaiah came out and he was like 8.5 pounds. And he came out with a giant smile. But by the time Isaiah was one and Mackenzie was three, people even thought that they were twins. Because they were about the same size. Like what she looked like when she was three and what he looked like as one, they were like the same height.
Yeah.
I think that they like weighed the same. And I could carry both of them. I carry both of them everywhere. Because they, like, one-year-old Isaiah was the same size as three-year-old Mackenzie. And I'll tell you what, those first 3-4 years were some of the most exciting, joyous years just because it's like brand new being a parent. Like you're figuring it out and they're so cute and you love the outfits and like, but then it is real most of the time. And the real stuff is that you're constantly changing diapers and you're constantly on alert because you understand that they depend on you for everything. And their livelihood and their safety, I mean, the most basic things, you have to be on high alert all the time, watching, making sure that they're, I mean, I think at this time too, we lived in a 2-story house. So, you know, I always had to make sure that they're not climbing up and down the stairs. And, you know, we had little gates up everywhere, and you know, you're looking for all the bait, the just the safety stuff just around the house. And it was exhausting just that alone, watching to see like their every move and just make sure they're okay. One thing that I do remember craving in those years was adult interaction. Because while there's like mommy and me groups and the time at the playground, those are fleeting moments in the day. Those might last 30 minutes. It might last an hour. But for most of the day, it was baby talk. Most of the day, it was, you know, my kids aren't talking full-blown communication, yeah, conversation at 8 months and 1 and 2 and 3. And I remember when you would get home and you would not really know how I was going to be. I was either going to want to talk your ear off after you've been working all day long.
Yeah.
And I was going to talk your ear off because that was like my first like adult interaction.
Well, it was always a good sign of how you would react when you started talking to me in baby talk. I would always have to stop you. Wait a minute. Adult words.
Daddy home. Daddy home.
Big girl words. Yeah. Come on.
Work good? How was work? Like super high pitch. Like, don't you love that? To all the parents laughing right now. You know that your voice changes when you talk to your kids. And some days you would come home and you would know right away, like, hey, do you want to go on a run? And be like, yeah, yes, yeah, I do. Or you'd be like, do you want to go ride at a coffee house? I'll take care of the kids and get dinner started. Like, yeah, those were sweet gifts. But to be very direct in this, in answering this question, how did you get over the monotony? One of the best things that I found was trying to come up with somewhat of a routine. I wasn't so like, this has to be our routine. I actually was not that kind of parent. I didn't really love some of the baby rearing philosophies out there. And I had friends that would do this too, but they were really big on like rigid schedules, like nap time has to be at this exact same time, what they eat and what time. And because I didn't live my life like that. Yeah. I kind of like this idea of like, hey, when we're tired, we're going to take a nap. If we're hungry, we're going to eat. And really just letting like the day happen.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is even when I did that, we still ended up within the hour, ended up taking a nap around the same time.
Yeah.
And bedtime happened, you know, sometimes it was 6 o'clock, sometimes it was 7 o'clock, but it was like always within like that hour. I never really stressed out over structure, but what I did start to implement more often was how important it was for me to get outside. That just became something that needed to happen each day, because what I found is if I just stayed inside all day long, and I know there's some people that are like 6 feet under snow right now that are like, okay, what we do is we go in the basement, which, yeah, I totally get. But I think so changing scenery.
Yeah.
I think that's so important. Like I had to tell myself, do not stay on the couch with toys at your feet and just stay in this one room for 4 hours straight. And it's just all goo goo gaga for, you know, if I did that day in and day out, like I found myself kind of getting, feeling like I was stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would do is, okay, how can I always like change up what we're doing each and every day? So maybe it was, all right, two times this week, I'm going to try to meet with a friend, whether I have someone over or we meet at a park. Just two times a week, I'm going to try to make that happen. So, but it didn't have to be like the same day every week. It was like, where does that fit this week? Then I started to do this thing where we would get up in the morning with you. Well, I was already up. I was teaching fitness classes, yeah, at this time. So I was up at 4 a.m. And when I would get back at 5:30 in the morning, you would be starting to get up. The babies would slow, like one of the babies would be up typically and I would nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And then I loved this time with you from like 6 to 7, we'd have breakfast and coffee together.
Mm-hmm.
And then both the kids would be up. And then as soon as you left, I would make myself put the kids in the stroller and we would just go on a walk. So at some point in the day, I would go on one or two walks and that really helped. I would find a playground that the kids loved. I remember when the local gym opened up and it was free childcare at the gym. Like that was amazing.
Huge.
And did the kids always want to go? No. I'd say like,
did they get a choice?
They
no. You made them go.
They'd always get a choice. Would one of them blow a diaper out every time I drop them off?
About
40% of the time. So, and all the moms are like, yes, amen, yep. We hear you. Like, that's real life. Like, yeah. My kids didn't have colic. And I hate to even share this. They both were sleeping through the night by 12 weeks old, which is the big, I just feel like that was just a sheer gift that it was like that. But, you know, that you have, everyone has their struggles in one way or another. And I think that the monotony sometimes is where we can feel stuck in who we are and realize that, like, it's easy to feel like, oh my gosh, is this it for me? Like, I got married, I had kids, you know, and I'm not working anymore. This is where I was. It was like, I got married, I had kids. I don't work out of the house anymore. And I'm talking baby talk most of the days. And this is just not how I envisioned it to be. Like, you just feel tired all the time. And you really are living hour to hour. And the hours feel long. And now I'm doing is looking forward to when Eddie gets home. And it's like, by the time he gets home, I have this hour and a half where I'm actually kind of awake. And then I just want to hit the pillow and fall asleep. And then I'm going to do it all over again. Well, I'll tell you what. Now, as I look back, Eddie and I had lunch out today. And this little 2-year-old came toddling into the restaurant. And I just stared at her. And Eddie and I are like admiring her. And he's saying, oh, her shoes are so cute. Look at her little twinkly shoes. And I said, man, had I known at that time how much I would miss those years.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But I think a lot of young parents hear that too. Yep. I know we heard that. You know, the older parents with teens would come to us and be like, oh, you're going to miss those years. They go by so fast. Appreciate them now. Okay. And for us, we're like, yeah. We can't wait till they start school. Let me tell you.
I just watched Dora the Explorer for 4 hours. Not going quick.
I remember I tried to hide Dora the Explorer from Mackenzie. I was like, this is not going to play in our home. Like, we are not doing Dora. And who was her favorite character? Dora. That's all she wanted to hear. So the monotony, I get it. I have been there. I feel you at that in my deepest core. And here's the thing. There is a time and a season for everything in our life. And sometimes you are in that season of monotony.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to relate this right back into running. So often people ask me, when you are out training and you are in the mountains for 3-4 hours or on these long runs for that long, how do you not get bored? How do you not just get like sick of just 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, you know, right, left. And when you're racing and you're on mile 62 of a 200 miler, like, how do you just like keep going? And I remember these moments, things like that. Well, I've had a lot of seasons in my life where that's what it felt like. It felt monotonous. Mm-hmm. It felt like, dude, this is kind of boring. Like, this isn't fun. But I'll tell you what I realize now is I know how to work through that because I realize that it does not last like that. Yeah. It does not stay that way forever. But many times it is in the monotony that we're able to sit back, relax, and either take in the beauty of where we are. We're able to slow down and actually admire what we have. And I think that's what I started to do when the kids were little is like, wow, I realize this is the first time in my life where I'm not going 100 miles an hour. You know, and I grew up having, you know, worked 2 jobs by the time I was 14, 15 years old and was always juggling things. I mean, I never slept more than 4 hours for most of my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything was pedal to the metal, 100 miles an hour. And then, bam, I have 2 babies and I'm sitting on a couch watching Dora the Explorer with toys everywhere, laundry that's not done, dishes piled up, and it's just baby talk. And I'm like forced to sit in that.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about myself in that. But also, I'll tell you what, it's weird to say, I really miss those days. Mm. I miss just the sweetness of the early years and watching these 2 little gifts that were given to me, watch them grow and explore. And, you know, they're learning about the world and they're learning about it all through you. By the time the kids were 3 and 5, that's when I started taking them out on the trails with me.
Yep.
And it wasn't workouts. It was like, let's go find frogs. And I used to do these scavenger hunts with the kids. I'd write a little list of things they had to find. So like, go find a rock, go find a flower, go find a stick. And the absolute joy and excitement on their face when they would go find these items, which were so ridiculous. I mean, I remember even doing it once just in our neighborhood. Like, mm-hmm. we'd get our little bag and the kids would run around and find these items. And it was just this introducing them to exploration, which to me was so basic, but it was like to see the wonder through their eyes, the joy and excitement. I think it's really easy to miss that because we've been on Earth for so long.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's allowing ourselves to embrace, like, yeah, this is monotonous, but where is the beauty and where is the joy and the excitement through the eyes of these children?
Mm-hmm.
Like, your kids love you so much and you are genuinely the greatest thing in their life. You are everything. And when they come up to you to show you that toy for the 112th time with the biggest smile on their face, to be able to share that joy with them, I mean, you are just laying the foundation for an incredible relationship.
Yes. I mean, those are all good tips. Getting outside, changing up the scenery, right? Like, mm-hmm. what about the mom that, you know, that her identity was her, like, job, her, mm-hmm. she was a professional, you know, mm-hmm. before kids, and maybe she had a high, you know, demanding job, and mm-hmm. she just poured everything into that. And then now there's a question here that came in that, mm-hmm. you know, now that she doesn't have that job anymore, she's got a kid that's a year old, and, you know, her identity has shifted. She's no longer this professional. Now she's, you know, what do you say to that mom that is feeling a bit lost in terms of identity?
Yeah, I think a lot of women feel that way, even if they didn't have, you know, a 9-to-5 career, if they weren't climbing the corporate ladder. I think any time we enter motherhood, one of the first things that we start to learn is how hard it is to 24/7 put somebody else first. Mm. I think on a human level, it is such a hit to our pride. It is such a hit to our energy system. It's exhausting just in that, yeah. like, even if you really don't have a choice, you are thinking of that kid constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know when our kids are babies, were babies just for no reason, I just kind of go and check on them right. while they're sleeping. They're always on your mind. And that's a hard shift. I think naturally, as humans, it's easy for us to be self-focused and to really want to hone in and think about, okay, what are my goals for the day? What do I want to accomplish today? What am I working toward? And then you become a mom and it's like, that's not first anymore.
Mm.
And that's hard. I struggled with all of that when I became a mom. And it was very humbling. I think when you become just a parent, whether it's a father or a mother, it's very humbling. You learn mm-hmm. a lot about yourself.
Yep.
I've shared this many times that one of the first things I learned when I became a mom was how selfish I am.
Mm.
And it's hard to admit, but everything takes a backseat when you are raising a life, and it's not a plant.
Right.
You're not raising a plant. Like, this is a human with their own personality, with their own strengths and weaknesses and imperfections and interests and goals and likes and dislikes. They're not a replica of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're working through that too. And they're on their schedule and you're going to have a lot of surprises and challenges. And so, I 100% understand going from, yeah, working that. I mean, when I got pregnant with Mackenzie, that's what I was in a, you know, working in a cubicle,
yeah.
9-to-5. I loved what I was doing. I was working for a nonprofit in the, for orphaned children and foster and adoption. I loved that. I mean, I was so passionate about what I was doing. And then I left that. And I,
yeah,
and I had Mackenzie.
It's a big change, right? When you have, because when people meet you for the first time, like, oh, you know, what do you do, right?
It's yes.
like you tell them what do you do for your work. I work in, you know, mm-hmm. the whatever business, or I'm a manager here or whatever, right? And then it's like you have a child and you're, you know, let's say you're home and you're not mm-hmm. working, and now it's like you don't say, oh, I was a, you know, but now it's changed, it's different, and mm-hmm. your identity or your first thing you're saying is, oh, I stay home with, you know, my son, or mm-hmm. right, and I'm raising my, you know, it's a big shift. I know people, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but people have jobs, you know, after a while they go back to the workforce or whatever, but that initial transition is pretty sudden, you know, mm-hmm. they go from working full time to mm-hmm. now I'm not working, that, you know, my identity has changed mm-hmm. and that's a big shift, right?
Well, I want to expand on that because yeah, sometimes it's how it's been communicated over the years, yeah. right? You and I can think about like our grandparents, specifically like grandmothers, mm-hmm. where that's what you do is you raise yeah. kids. You shouldn't yeah. be working outside the house. I mean, a lot of them didn't even go to college, and not that you need to go to college, but like a lot of times it was you get married, you have kids, you raise children. And then things started to shift, and it seemed to be more acceptable for college, get married, have kids, but also have a job. I mean, I feel like that is a constant conversation mm-hmm. and a constant change just in society. And I know one thing that I've always like wanted to highlight is I do say often, like, kids are, they're not a job. They are genuinely a gift. Mm-hmm. And I know that question that you are saying is, oh, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And I have heard many mothers say, oh, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Mm. As if I don't do what you do. What you do is so great.
It's not as important.
It's not as yeah. important. And I'll tell you what, there is no greater opportunity in our life than to raise children, because yep. you could be raising the next president of the United States. Yep. You could be raising the next great author, musician. You could be raising the next trailblazer who's going to change your community or do something. You know what I mean? Like yeah. you don't know who you're raising.
Yep.
And not even that you're raising someone that needs to have this title, but just raising a human that's loving and kind. I mean, I think that takes dedicated parenting to raise a child who knows they are secure, that they're loved, that understands the difference between right and wrong, mm-hmm. What is good and true. I mean, that's dedicated parenting to do that. I know you and I have talked about, man, one of the most exhausting things as a parent is being consistent.
Yeah.
Being consistent with rules of the house and following up with, you know, what's right. And then
yep.
with teens, what you and I have learned, it's exhausting because now it's emotional stuff. It's emotional, social, real life issues
yep.
that our kids are going through. And it's not uncommon that one of my kids wants to talk to me for an hour about yeah. something, which I'm super grateful my kids know they can come and talk to me in trust, in confidence. I love that our kids know that they can share literally everything with us. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no greater joy. But I think that all too often what is communicated, that is a lesser role in our life.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a greater role.
No.
Than to be given the opportunity to raise children.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to just flip that message on that. When someone asks you that, well, what do you do? Say, I've been given the opportunity to raise my children full time. Mm-hmm. And it's the greatest opportunity that I've ever had, because the job position will always be there.
Yeah.
And whether it's at the company that you left or somewhere new, but work, there's always work
there's
to
always
do.
Work,
there's
yep.
always, and we know this,
yep.
Having had careers of our own,
mm-hmm.
you finish a work day and it's like, man, I didn't check off everything on that list. When I go back, there's a long list of work to do. Even if you're an entrepreneur, you know that like that work day never ends. It's like 7 days. Like you could always be working. But I'll tell you what, raising children, it's not the same way. You get this window of raising them in seasons mm-hmm. as they make their way in all the different growth milestones, and they are ever changing. And then they move out of your house and they're gone.
Yep.
And so that season ends. Like, I can't believe that Mackenzie's moving out of our house in 5 months. Mm. And for the most part, this will never be her full-time home again.
Right.
You know? So I think that has been really important for me to remember too, that raising children is not meaning your life is over, and that your gifts and passions and the things that you love are no more. It's you've been given this opportunity, this wondrous, amazing opportunity that doesn't compare to anything else that you will ever do in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't last very long. You'll have days it feels like it lasts long.
Yeah.
But it doesn't last long, and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know you and I have joked about, I've said this many times, especially in the last few years as our kids have gotten older, but I've said things like, let's adopt more kids.
Yeah.
Like, let's do this again. I didn't think it would be over so quickly, because I love it. I appreciate it. I wouldn't say that it's easy and daisies and butterflies all the time, but there is nothing that has fulfilled my life more and brought me more joy in my life. The greatest gift ever has been the gift to be a mom. Mm. So, to those women that wrote that in, you are absolutely validated in feeling lost and feeling like you're missing out on what once was.
Mm.
And that is 100% okay to feel that way. I think that's normal.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's part, like, that's the beauty and pain in life, is that nothing lasts forever. And that as the season changes, it is, that's part of being a human being. It's like you should miss that. You should miss what you loved. Yeah, like even when it comes down to like just staff meetings and having your desk all laid out and your cup of coffee and you got your music playing and you have like that peace and quiet to work. Like, I remember those long hours at the office. It was hard work, but it's like you kind of enjoy that rhythm and going to lunch with your friends, and like you're going to miss that. That is absolutely a validated feeling. But I also say, look at becoming a mother in a new lens. This is a new adventure for you. On the flip side of that, in a very like very practical way, what was important to me is that I actually did carve out when the kids would take naps or late at night, I still worked on things that I really loved. So mm-hmm. one of them was writing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just, that was a side note to the day.
Yeah.
So if I had time to write, like, and that made me feel really good, like as far as like, I need some type of outlet. So writing was really important to me. So when the kids were young, I worked a lot on that book. The other thing that was really important was, you know, whether it was like I was getting a sitter or asking Eddie, especially when the kids were babies, like I just like 1 or 2 hours away, I would plan that into the week. Is very healthy. Mm. I think it's healthy that women do that. You need it more than you think. I think we are better mothers for it. Having traveled the world in so many different cultures, you really do see how other cultures do it differently. The whole family supports you when you have a baby. You got grandma's living with you in the house. You got your aunts and uncles are in the area. You got your sister down the street. I mean, that idea of it takes a village to raise a child is very true. And so look for your support. Who can support you? Who can help you? Because I know we're talking to parents too that are single parents.
Yep.
And that's hard.
Yeah.
The single parents that still have to have a job and you know, and they're trying to raise kids, that can get tough. Mm-hmm. And so I think looking out to, okay, where are the support groups? Staying in connection with other new moms is so, so powerful, because you need to hear from other moms. You need to hear from other ones that are having a rough time. I know I started to get into a pattern where you link up with other new moms and you're like, all right, how about we rotate through taking care of each other's babies, you know? And I can go and get my run done at Target. I can go to the gym for an hour, like even if it's just 2 or 3 hours, where you can just be alone with your own thoughts. You can have that time to just rejuvenate and collect. I mean, I'll tell you what, you just feel better. And there's also a lot of joy in becoming a mother alongside other women. And even if you don't have any friends in your community, I know there's always, you know, check your city, recreation guide. A lot of times you'll see some new mom classes in there. I know a lot of times churches will do like MOPS. They'll host MOPS at the church. But that is definitely out there. A support group is so, so important. Because those beginning seasons are tough, and it's not unnatural to feel down, to feel sad, to feel lost. And I just want to encourage you that one, you are going to be okay. These seasons will change, but you are not alone in any of those feelings. And there is a lot of great mothers out there who would love to pour into you and do life right alongside you. So, thank you so much for, you know, writing that in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the next kind of, there's a bunch of questions that touch on this. And mm-hmm. I think they want your perspective and kind of advice mm-hmm. on how to do it is, you know, knowing that Mackenzie and Isaiah were young, little ones when you started to pursue a dream of becoming a professional runner while you were working part-time, while you were raising the kids. And that's kind of carried on the past 10 years where you continue to pursue these dreams and you continue to add to your plate in terms of what you take on in terms of work and, business type stuff and friends and training and all of that has just like grown, but you've also, you know, made time to raise the kids and to be a part of their lives and to make sure that they're looked after and parented. And so I think the gist of all these questions that people are asking is how to pull it all off, like how to balance all of that while and doing it well, you know, pursuing your dreams, having a job, but also raising great kids. I don't know if you want to, I mean, there's no real like magic formula. There's, you know, I'm sure you have tips and advice, but there's a lot of moms that have asked that are trying to train for different races and that are working that also are trying to make sure that they're a good mom. So what would you say to the question about balance?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to enter this by saying I will continue this in the next podcast because that is that question alone is very dear to my heart because what I'm going to share, you're right. There's no formula.
Mm-mm.
So I'm just going to say that right off the bat. But there's a lot inside of that I've had to learn and grow in myself and understand. It's taken me a lot of years and I'm still growing in it because, you know, and I said this at the beginning, a lot of the way that we parent, a lot of the way we feel about ourselves as mothers has a lot to do with how we were raised and what we understand of good mothering. And so My childhood was a lot of, I need to be perfect. I need to prove and work so hard to prove that I'm valuable. That was a lot of my childhood. But then I also had a mom that was so gracious and just encouraged me no matter what within my mistakes and my shortcomings. But I only had her for a short amount of time. I mean, by the time I was 14, she was terminally ill. So it was a very short time that I got to really witness what it meant to be a strong mom. But her impact was great. And my mom had 5 kids. And she had all of us really close together. And I think that alone, just watching her juggle 5 children in those early years, I learned a lot from her.
Mm-hmm.
And I took bits and pieces from how she raised us, like things that I really loved. I also remember now, especially as I'm a grown woman, looking back, I now understand where her struggles were too. My mom didn't always have the best positive self-talk about herself. She did, like, I heard her often, you know, especially about her physical appearance. She never liked the way she looked. She always thought she needed to lose weight. You know, and she always felt like her house wasn't clean enough and, you know, just all the things like that. I think she was always aware of her own shortcomings, but at the same time, it was like, wow, you're raising five kids on top of all of this. So she did carry a big load. And then of course, then she got, you know, sick when I was young. So my understanding as I became a parent, as I started as a parent, is I was already juggling a lot. I mean, when I met you, Eddie, at 18, I had one or two jobs on campus. I had a job off campus. I was a starter on the soccer team, and I was taking 18 units. And I slept 4 hours all throughout college every night. So the reason why I highlight this story is because it's really important that you as a mom understand that we all have a different starting point and different backgrounds, and our lives are really unique. So it can be really dangerous comparing ourselves to other moms and how they do life when we don't know the ins and outs of their lives, when we don't know what their support systems are like. A single mom living out of state from her family, working two jobs and raising three kids, her support system, yeah, it's going to feel really different from the mom with four kids whose own mother lives 5 minutes on the other side of town, who has an incredible support group through her church or through the city or just in her neighborhood where she can get free childcare whenever she wants, who maybe has a really supportive partner, and maybe has more money, more resources. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just like night and day.
Yeah.
And I understand on every single level. I mean, remember when our kids were little, Eddie, we couldn't afford childcare. Like, we couldn't afford a nanny or any of that. I mean, right. It was like, I would take what I could get when your mom could watch the kids, but we usually save that up so we could go on a date because your brother and sister, we all had kids at the same time. And so, I mean, six grandkids, I mean, we had to be really selective when we asked grandma and grandpa to, there was all these babies everywhere. So we tried to be really sensitive about that. And we just, I know we really appreciated when grandma and grandpa could come over and you and I could go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. But I think what I've learned over the years is there's no such thing as perfect balance. But what was always important to me was the understanding that my kids are always watching. And one thing that has been important with my kids watching me is that just because you become a parent, it doesn't mean you stop being who you are. It doesn't mean that you don't matter anymore. It doesn't mean that what you love and what you're passionate about, those dreams that you have, it doesn't mean that those go away. But what if you worked in such a way that allowed you to be present for your kids, but at the same time still work toward the dreams and showed your kids that, like, the things that you love from the time you're a little kid, you get to work on those things for the rest of your life. But they do change with the seasons. And I think we have to come to a point where we let go of rigidness, perfectionism. We have to let go of, you know, perfectly planned, structured days. And we just appreciate the day that we're in. And I've spoken on this so many times, but that is really how I pursued becoming a professional trail runner. Was I might get to train today for 2 hours straight and uninterrupted. I mean, we bought a used treadmill.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll get to do that. Maybe I can do some band exercises in the garage while the kids are taking a nap. What I started to do was I just crafted out what worked for my family. And what I found to be frustrating for me was when I would look at what the other top level athletes were doing. And I'd start to compare my life, because what I saw was most of them don't have kids. A lot of them are like either living in a van, or like they have this incredible schedule where they sleep until 8. They make an amazing breakfast. They go train for 4 hours in the mountains. They come home and take a nap. They get up from that nap. They have amazing food made for them either by their partner, or they take the time and go to the farmer's market and buy all the ingredients. I mean, it was like, I'd look at that and get so frustrated and be like, what am I doing? Like, this is ridiculous that I think I can pursue a high level goal like this when I have babies and I'm always tired and I actually need to bring in money. Like, my income, we depended on my income. So I'll be completely honest with everyone. It was ridiculous in the beginning. When I remember coming to you, Eddie, and sharing about wanting to run this first 50-mile race. And I remember you being like, what? Like, when are you actually going to train for that? And I had to let go of what was conventional as far as what a conventional training plan looked like. I had to let go of, you know, the expectations of what maybe a coach would expect of me. I had to let go of trying to make my life look like what the other competitive athletes look like. And I had to sit with myself and say, Sally, this is the life that you've been given. Now, at this time, the kids were 3 and 5 when I really actually started to really get in to competitive trail running. I started when they were like 1 and 3 or 2 and 4 or something like that. And I had to look at my life and say, my kids are not in the way. My kids are not an accident. They are not a burden. They are a great gift. So if I've been given these kids, I want to raise them right. And I want to be the best mom that I can be. I also have these great desires and these goals and these dreams, like just bubbling inside of me. And I wonder if there's a way that I can be a good mom and still hack away at this dream. And so that's what I did. I figured out a way that fit with our life. And the trajectory in which I worked, I mean, it was really like up and down and all around. I mean, it was just, it was messy. And I had to tell myself, Sally, allow it to be messy. Allow it to not make sense. Allow it to not always be perfect. You have to let go of the critics, the opinions, and all of that, and just do your best with what you have. And that's what I've been doing ever since. And I think that would be my best encouragement for moms working on whatever goal. I mean, you could be thinking about going back to school. You could be thinking about wanting to, maybe you want to write a book or work on a certain project, or you want to go after a race. I'll tell you what, the best thing you can do for yourself is start your day with grace. Start your day with the mindset of, this is a new day. And all that I'm going to really focus on is just this day. Because when you have little kids, that's all you can do. You can't change the throw up and just the nightmare that happened the day before. You can't dictate what's going to happen the next day. You can be in that one day. And that is what I did, especially when the kids were babies and they weren't in school and I didn't have any childcare help. I just was in that day, hour to hour. And I would look at that one day and I'd be like, okay, if I want to work out today, where could I do it? Okay, I have 30 minutes here. I could probably do a HIIT workout while the kids are napping. Eddie gets home. Maybe I could run for like 45 minutes before dinner. And then that was it. Like, that was it. And does that sound like the way to work up to being a professional athlete? No, not at all. But I didn't put a timestamp on myself either. I didn't put that pressure of like, oh, well, if you don't do it up until this time, then you've expired and you're done. No, the cool thing about working towards the things that you love that are most authentic to who you are is you get your entire life to do it. And I think so often we put that pressure on ourselves that, I mean, we do this after the baby weight. We got to hurry up and get that baby weight off. Hurry up. You got to get back into that, into those jeans within 10 weeks of that, of having that baby. And you need to look like this and your house has to look like this. I mean, it's like, why do we do that? Why do we do that to ourselves? And I let go of all of that. And that was very hard for me. That is not natural to me to let go of the expectations and the structure and wanting everything to be perfect. And I wanted things to happen quickly. No, I just did the best with what I had on that day. And then I would repeat that every single day. And I'll tell you what, some days were super messy. But one thing I would live by was that a messy day doesn't mean you quit. A messy day doesn't dictate the rest of your days. Mm-hmm. Where you are today is not where you're going. Where you're going, you are going to grow. You are going to change as a mother. You're going to go through those seasons. You're going to get stronger. You're going to get better. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to say things you regret. You're going to do things you wish you didn't do. And that's going to be the same thing as you work towards those goals. Those goals aren't always going to pan out the way that you hope them to be. Some days you're going to train. You're going to feel amazing. Other days you're going to feel exhausted. Some days you're going to line up at a race and you're going to DNF. Other days you're going to PR. You might get on the podium. You might not. Like, never, ever, ever stop working. I'll tell you what, you're children are going to grow alongside you through all of that. Mm-hmm. And they are going to watch you go up and down, the good days, the bad days. And they're like, wow, we don't ever stop trying. I'm going to be like mama. And that is like the greatest message that you can give to your kids. Kids, it doesn't have to be perfect. Yes, you're going to fail and you're going to cry and you're going to get back up and you're going to do it again. And we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep growing. See, the thing is, my kids only remember me as a runner. They only remember me as a professional athlete. I mean, I got signed when they were little enough that most of their memories were running with mama on the trails. And then it was spectating mama as at these races. And now they're teenagers. Mackenzie's on her way out. Isaiah's only got a couple more years here. And I'm still doing that. I'm still working in that. And it's changed every year. The goals that I lay out for myself, the way that I train, my schedule. But I'll tell you what, it's been a wild, messy, crazy adventure. I wouldn't train it for anything. But I'll tell you what, listeners, write your story that's truest to you. Don't try to write your story so that it looks like someone else's. And don't feel like you have to blend in with everyone else. Children are a great gift because they're so unique. That's one of my favorite things about kids. Mm-hmm. And the children that you are raising are different from your next door neighbor's kids. They're different from all those parents that you're scrolling through on social media and looking at. You get to raise the children that are in your home. And that is like the best adventure ever. And so, yeah, as a fellow mama, I just encourage you, let it be messy. Start each day with grace. Do the best with what you have each day. And don't ever, 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 ever give up. No matter how long it takes to achieve those goals, the work is where the gold is. Mm-hmm. It's the work. And you're going to reach milestones. But as soon as you reach a milestone, whether that's running your first 5K, accomplishing that online course, you don't stop there. You keep going. You keep building. You keep growing. That's the message you should always be teaching your children too. You get that A on that test, or you score that goal in soccer, or you graduate from high school, your life doesn't end. Those are just stepping stones, and you keep taking those steps all the way until the finish line of your life.
Well, I feel like if I left right now that I'd be able to go crush it as a mom. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, you're crushing it as a dad, and I know we're gonna do a dad episode. I also know that this is why this is a 3-part series.
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions I know that we're going to be tackling. Mm-hmm. I am going to do an episode by myself. Mm-hmm. We'll probably bring you in for another one as well, because I really do appreciate you going through all the questions, and just the back and forth has been really awesome. But yeah, this has been a good conversation.
Yeah, I think we really hit a lot of the, you know, the general questions that came in. A lot of them had to do with the ones that we just talked about. And maybe next time we can talk a little, there's a few, you know, here that are, when the kids are in their teenage years, we can kind of touch on that.
That's a 10-part series.
But that, I think that'll be a good one too, where we can address some of the teen stuff.
Mom guilt. We'll dive a little bit more deeper into that next time. I think that is something that, I mean, I don't think I've ever talked to a mom that doesn't struggle with that.
Yeah.
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 And, yeah, that's a big one. So yeah, I'll be tackling that. I guess we can go ahead and wrap it up here. I know this podcast has been pretty long already. I just want to highlight, moms as I close it up here. I know I have a lot of moms out there who are listening that don't have a lot of support. And whether that's they don't get the support from their partner, they don't have a partner in the home with them, they might not get support from their family, or they're in the community. So I want to talk specifically to you right now and just give you a big old virtual bear hug and tell you that, you know, each day that you awake and you are around your kids and you're loving on those kids and you're spending time with your kids and you're doing all those things around the house that they won't notice for many years, maybe not until they themselves are parents. I want you to know and just to believe in your heart that your work is never in vain and it does matter. And you need to know that you matter. Sometimes kids can't articulate it. It takes them a while to really articulate how valuable and how much you mean to them in their life. But just from one mother to the next, I just want to say I'm proud of you and keep showing up every day and giving your best. And your best is just, it's always rooted in love. You know, you don't need to have a lot of money, a lot of resources, a lot of materials to be a good mom. But when kids know that they're loved and can be in the most simplest acts that we do day in and day out, I mean, that's how we change the world. Mm. People who are loved change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of good comes from that. So I think that being a mom is such a powerful role. It is an incredible opportunity. And you need to know that you are important and that you matter. And what you do every day matters. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good place to stop right there.
Yeah.
Some good encouragement.
To everyone that's running, well done today.
Yeah.
To those that are lifting, cycling, you're making the drive back from work, or you're just starting dinner or ending dinner.
Or you're going for that fifth coffee.
Maybe
you're in the Starbucks line. I see you.
I see you.
And I wish you were me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I wish that was you. Yeah.
We so appreciate you taking us along today. And we look forward to joining you again. We hope that you have a wonderful week. And we want to encourage you to keep choosing strong in all that you do.